The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Ibrahim Kwarteng
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, Colleges of Education calls for increase in feeding grants. Traditional ruler appeals the government to subsidize fertilizers for farmers to ensure increased cocoa production. New District Assembly completes street naming program ahead of deadline. And police seize large cache of explosives following raids on suspected Al-Shabaab militants. The news in detail. Colleges of Education are appealing to government to increase the feeding grant for each student from 4 Ghana cedis 50 pesos to 7 Ghana cedis, according to the administrator of the Secretariat of Principal of Colleges of Education, Simon Chadley. The 4 Ghana cedis 50 pesos is not enough, considering the current economic challenges and prices of foodstuffs. He however debunked reports that the principals have threatened to feed students 2 square meals a day if the money is not increased.
At our last conference, the principals discussed the feeding and with all the costing that we see, we realize that with the present market trend, the area of foodstuffs, it is not going to be easy for colleges to continue feeding their students at 4 cedis 50 pesos a day for 3 meals. And therefore, the decision was that we should appeal to the Ministry of Education and explain our situation that it will be necessary for them to consider increasing the feeding grant that is given the students so that we can feed them at 7 cedis a day. And what he's saying is that breakfast will be, lunch will be 2 cedis 50 pesos, and supper will be 2 cedis 50 pesos.
With the current 4 cedis 50 pesos, you're saying is not enough. So what are the implications on the food that you are going to feed the students?
What we're saying is that as early as possible, you know, we haven't reopened. We are reopening on the 6th of October, and we have written officially to the ministry through the National Council for Tertiary Education, requesting an upward adjustment in the feeding grant. And our hope is that by the time we reopen, it would have been agreed that we feed them at 7. It's the Ministry of Education that is paying the feeding fee for the students. And so principals don't just get up and expecting we are going to feed them 2 meals a day. We are in discussion with the ministry.
You are saying that you are yet to reopen and you are very hopeful that when schools reopen, government or the Ministry of Education will increase the feeding fees or feeding grants to 7 cedis 50 pesos. What if the Ministry of Education does not increase or even doesn't even get up to 7 cedis?
We are asking for 7 cedis. Between now and October the 6th, when we reopen, it is our hope that we would have heard something from the Ministry of Education.
Administrator of the Secretariat of Principals of Colleges of Education, Simon Chadidi.
The chief of Fofodo near Chifuhimang in the Chifuhimang Lower District, Nana Yao Ando, has called on government to revert to the policy of subsidizing fertilizers for farmers to help increase cocoa production. Nana Ando said this at a meeting with cocoa farmers, which discussed the need for government to subsidize the prices of fertilizer for cocoa farmers. He said the introduction of the free fertilizer policy is a lofty program but is benefiting only a few. He said the criteria and channel of distributing the fertilizer is rather benefiting people who are not farmers. Nana Ando called on the government to improve the channel of distribution to ensure that the items are available to all categories of farmers. A farmer representative, Kwame Nkum, received 1,000 bags of fertilizer and expressed appreciation to government. He said most farmers complained that they did not receive any fertilizer, and this has raised suspicion and tension among farmers in the area. He appealed to government to increase the supply so that every farmer would benefit from the package. The Mion District Assembly in the Northern Region has successfully completed a street naming exercise of naming the streets to beat the September 30 deadline by President John Mahama. The District Chief Executive, Daniel Wudinayi Makanda, briefing the GNA at Sang after a meeting with the chiefs and people of the area, said 10 streets have been named in the district capital, Sang, with directional signboards erected. Mr. Makanda said the street naming exercise and property addressing is a continuous exercise, adding that though the District Assembly has completed naming the streets, it would not hesitate to name more roads and streets as and when new areas develop. He, however, said their major challenge in the exercise is absence of an area map of the district. They therefore had to rely only on the Town and Country Planning Office in Tamale for the exercise.
Government has expressed its belief in working effectively with the traditional authorities, particularly at the grassroots level, to address development challenges of the people. The Ashanti Regional Minister Samuel Sapon said the chieftain's institution and political leadership share common aspirations as they are both agents of change. The two will therefore complement each other in mobilizing resources to improve infrastructure, health, educational and economic needs of the people. Mr. Sapon was addressing a meeting of the Mansong Contra Traditional Council in the Amansia West District. Said development of the nation is a shared responsibility, and that government would bring on board all stakeholders and decision making, as well as the implementation of development programs and policies to benefit society. The minister was interacting with the council as part of his working visit to the district. This was to enable him to inspect ongoing development projects, interact and also explain government policies to the people. Mr. Sapon advised the youth to stay clear of violence and avail themselves of programs designed by government to enhance their living conditions. The Queen of Mansong Kwanta, Nana Nyakon Abura, asked government to improve the road network in the area to facilitate farming and economic activities.
Despite court injunctions on some constituency elections of the ruling NDC, candidates for the regional level election have intensified campaigns to woo delegates to their side. In Greater Accra, five candidates are vying for the chairmanship. They include former MP for Ododo-Diodio Jonathan Takikomi, business executive Eko Manley Spain, and B.S. Akwiti. The rest are former MCE for Lejokuku, Daniel Amati Mensah, and the incumbent Joseph Adekuka. Radio Ghana caught up with Daniel Amati Mensah, who called for unity within the ranks of the party to enable it to present a cohesive front for election 2016.
Afro franchise is right from the word go. I know it looks very bright. And we have just started the constituency conferences. And I've been going around. And I must say that my message is catching up with our people. We can see from the results that new faces are emerging. And it's showing one thing, that people who have worked are being rewarded. I mean, and that is a very good sign. Clearly show that once you have worked, you will be rewarded. And so far, so good. I can say that the challenges the party is facing at this crucial time has been mainly this disqualification of candidates here and there. But I think that gradually we are overcoming it. I'm told there have been a series of petitions. I know the regional executive is doing their best to address them. What we believe is that there should be fair play. We should play according to the rules. National has set up the guidelines, and I hope everybody who adhere to the guideline that was issued by National. And once we follow that, these difficulties we are having will be seen of the past.
Mr. Amati Mensah spelled out his vision for the party.
Afro franchise is right from the word go. I know it looks very bright. And we have just started the constituency conferences. And I've been going around. And I must say that my message is catching up with our people. We can see from the results that new faces are emerging. And it's showing one thing, that people who have worked are being rewarded. I mean, and that is a very good sign. Clearly show that once you have worked, you will be rewarded. And so far, so good. I can say that the challenges the party is facing at this crucial time has been mainly this disqualification of candidates here and there. But I think that gradually we are overcoming it. I'm told there have been a series of petitions. I know the regional executive is doing their best to address them. What we believe is that there should be fair play. We should play according to the rules. National has set up the guidelines, and I hope everybody who adhere to the guideline that was issued by National. And once we follow that, these difficulties we are having will be seen of the past.
That was one of the chairmanship aspirants for the NDC regional level election, Daniel Amati Mensah.
A member of the National Media Commission, Kwesi Janapinton, says though Ghana has achieved a lot through the liberation of the airwaves, some media practitioners and institutions have taken undue advantage of that freedom. Speaking on GBC's current affairs program Talking Points, which continued the discussion on the media in modern times, Mr. Appington said though the euphoria of the liberation ignited the establishment of numerous media organizations, lack of institutional arrangements to check content has marred the essence of the freedom. For his part, a former director general of GBC, David Anaglata, said the media in Ghana has advanced over the years as compared to other countries. He said the media is a delicate area and needs to be handled in a way that people can have confidence in. President of the Independent Broadcasters Association, Giba Kwesi Appenton, thinks that until the regulatory bodies such as the NMC, NCA, GJA and the Ministry of Communications collaborate effectively, the airwaves will continue to be dominated by sensationalism instead of proper content.
The outgoing lay president of the Methodist Church, John Pratt, has urged Christians to always trust in the Lord in times of their needs instead of seeking ungodly support. Mr. Pratt, who was speaking at his valedictory service at the Kofodia Wesley Cathedral, advise Christians to be patient and wait on God, citing the example of the biblical Sarah, which he said should be an encouragement to Christians. The service was attended by the presiding bishop, Most Reverend Emmanuel Asante, and diocesan lay chairman of the Methodist Church. Apostle Jackson Owusu-Stephen has been inducted into office as the new chairman of the Christian Praise International Center, CPIC. This follows the death of the founder, Right Reverend Professor Anoyeboa, the superintendent bishop of Jesus Generation Ministry, Right Reverend Dr. Anyani Wedum, who performed the induction ceremony, challenged Apostle Dr. Stephen to live above reproach in the discharge of his duties. The occasion was also used to swear members of the governing council into office. A report by Yaya Kwamwa and Desmond Kwe.
The Christian Praise International Center, CPIC, was established 11 years ago by the late Right Reverend Professor Anoyeboa. He was the chairman of the church until his death on the 5th of June this year. The superintendent bishop of Jesus Generation Ministry, the Right Reverend Dr. Enyinam Wedum, charged the newly inducted chairman, Apostle Dr. Jashin Owusu-Stephen, to discharge his responsibilities with the utmost sincerity and fairness with regard to tribal affiliation, ethnicity, and political inclination. He said, as a servant of God, he is duty-bound to propagate the gospel to the weak and the poor.
On behalf of the General Council and the Apostolic Council, present to you your chairman. Go in the strength of the Lord. Go in the strength of the Lord. You will be able to do it. You will be able to do it. The power is in your strength. Grace and mercy shall be your portion. God is with you.
The chairman, Apostle Dr. Jackson Owusu-Stephen, in his acceptance speech, promised to serve the people according to the dictates of the Bible. He said he is prepared to devote his life to take the church to another level.
My by the grace of God, we are one of two, which God will show us. And I believe that this church is going to move from strength and from power to power.
Members of the congregation pledge their full support for Apostle Dr. Jackson Owusu-Stephen.
That was Yaya Kwamwa and Desmond Quay's report.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, the major stories. Colleges of Education calls for increase in feeding grants. Traditional ruler appeals to government to subsidize fertilizers for farmers to ensure increased cocoa production. Mion District Assembly completes street naming program ahead of deadline. And police seize large case of explosives following the raids on suspected Al-Shabaab militants. We are back after the break.
GBC is mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
And the news at 6 continues. The Western Regional Police Commander, DCOP Isaac Quino, says road safety is a shared and collective responsibility. He, however, entreated the public to support the police in combating reckless driving by motorists. DCOP Quino also charged Ghanaians not to be passive passengers when on board vehicles, but rather alert drivers who engage in traffic offenses such as overspeeding, overloading, drunk driving, or any act that could be detrimental to the safety of passengers and other road users. DCOP Quino gave the advice when inaugurating an 11-member road safety committee at the San Gregoire in the Wasa Amenfi West District of the Western Region. We bring you the details.
The committee is made up of representatives of the Ghana National Fire Service, the Prison Service, Ghana Education Service, National Commission for Civic Education, and the National Road Safety Commission. Others are the Ghana Red Cross Society, the District Chief Executive, Police Service, Ghana Private Road Transport Union, DVLA, Feeder Roads Department, and the Stool Lands Secretary. The Regional Police Commander charged the committee to be vigilant and engage in vigorous advocacy campaigns to minimize the speed of road crashes in the area and ensure law and order on the roads. He urged motor riders to wear crash helmets and drivers to use their seat belts for their own safety and that of other road users. He said the police service has embarked on a nationwide exercise to apprehend offending motorists who break traffic rules and regulations. The district police commander, DSP Kingslow Subempa, said 11 people died in the first half of the year through road accidents, with 66 injuries involving 47 vehicles. He observed that most of these accidents occurred as a result of overspeeding, overloading, and drunk driving, and therefore cautioned motorists to change their attitudes to ensure safety on the roads. The regional manager of the National Road Safety Commission, Samuel Esiama, said 104 persons died through accidents in the region during the first half of the year, with 466 injuries involving 645 vehicles. He described the figures as unpleasant and called for concerted efforts to minimize the crashes.
That was a news desk report.
The Director General of the GVC, Major Obedon Chebi, says the digital migration platform, when complete, will help the corporation to generate more income to cater for its developmental projects. He said, though Ghana's migration onto the platform will increase the level of competition with other stations in terms of coverage area, the advantage GVC stands to gain outweighs the disadvantages. Don Chebi said this when he paid a working visit to Ubunu FM in Tema to interact with the workforce as well as share ideas on the way forward. He was accompanied by his deputy, Mrs. Francisca Shitodunton, and the Human Resource Director, John Kwasari. Major Don Chebi said the corporation can only undertake its own project if it is able to improve upon its internal revenue base, which includes the managing of the digital platform.
Instead of doing 21 channels, we probably could do 46 or something. So you can imagine, if we are renting one channel for 12,000 Ghana cedis per month, if we have 40 channels to rent, can imagine how much revenue we wish. Maybe all your wish list because we should be making in excess of 500,000 Ghana cedis every month just from hosting stations. And I can tell you, there are many more people out there who want to set up TV stations. When they realize that designing a TV station or managing a TV station with the new technologies is not the complex issue it was 50 years ago. We were the only station with nationwide coverage. And we emphasize that we are still the only station with nationwide coverage. But for next year, when the digital platform comes into being, we will not be the only station with nationwide coverage. Every television station, from the 2-man station to the 1,800-man station, everybody is national. So the competition is going to be stiffer, because now there are advertisers and sponsors who come to us because they know that it is only GTV that you can find in some rural areas. So key soap and people like that like to come to the city. Every station, Alto Star, Gold Base, all of them will reach Y and Nangoli and Elugu. And so you have the same viewership like we have. So it's going to be very, very tough. That is the reason why if we own the platform, then we are competing with them at the production level, but then we have a monopoly.
Major Don Chibi also spoke on the government's contribution to GVC's digitalization projects.
The expenditure of 27 million euros to build new digital studios in GVC in 5 or 6 more regions across the country. So we started the process of getting the money, and we are starting the process. We are doing that. This IMS go live business will not affect our money. We are able to do these stations. So we need TV, for example, we're not doing from Accra. If we are going operating from Sema, we don't know how we're going to finish from Accra because of the availability of the phone. But this project will allow certain stations in GBC. It involves the construction of production studios in a number of cities, including Kumasi, Tamale, Go, Akrade. That was the original contract. But we are trying to have it back. So every original captor or GBC station will have a studio there so that you can do programs from everywhere. For starters, we are trying to rehabilitate the general purpose studio in Kumasi to turn it into a studio where you can do a television program. So we will do two broadcasts live from Kumasi.
For her part, the regional director of Obonu FM, Claire Bano Yakubu, said the station is still progressing with its quality programs and that such particular attention should be given to the station to enable her to increase her revenue.
Stakeholders in media have resolved to take measures to address assault and abuse on journalists and media practitioners in the country. The stakeholders are comprised of Ghana Journalists Association, GJA, Ghana Independent Broadcasters Association, GIBA, and the National Media Commission, NMC. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the president of the GJA, Roland Afolmoni, said that three bodies have agreed to hold a joint press conference today to condemn any form of abuse on media workers and roll out measures to cap the act.
Let me say emphatically that the GJA, GIBA, and the National Media Commission, NMC, are overly worried about the incessant attacks on journalists in recent times. Recently, we joined forces and decided to hold a press conference, a joint press conference on Monday, to hopefully pour our frustrations, our repugnance, our rejection and repulsion of what is happening in recent times. Yesterday, the key stakeholders met and mapped out a strategy or an effective response to what is happening now, because it will not take GJA alone to fight this fight. It will not take Ghana Independent Broadcasting Association alone to respond to what is happening now. It will not take the National Media Commission, even though they have a constitutional mandate, to ensure that high standards are maintained on the media landscape. I believe when all of us synergize our efforts, it will send strong signal that they need to halt the maddening levels of attack on the media landscape. The press conference will tell us what we have in store for the perpetrators of monstrosities and atrocities against journalists.
Mr. Afolmoni, however, advised journalists in the country to practice the profession with a high sense of responsibility and decorum. He said freedom without responsibility leads to chaos, and journalists could avoid attacks on them if they practiced responsibly. Ms. Afolmoni condemned the situation where a lot of journalists practice without pursuing formal education in the field. He said this is a big challenge in the journalist profession, especially since there is no law that stops them.
We underline the need for journalists to exercise freedom and at the same time to actualize responsibility. Freedom without responsibility is equal to chaos. And the chaotic scenes between the certain countries are one of the facts that journalists in particular exercise freedom without responsibility. So there's a need for freedom to go in tandem with responsibility. So whilst we condemn, whilst we help the perpetrators of attacks against journalists with all kinds of weapons, there's a need for us to caution our members to inject a high level of self-respect in their job, to be responsible more than ever before in what they do. That we will not play into your hands, we will not look for easy prey to other forces who use such excuses, the irresponsible act on the part of journalists.
Yeah, some people attributed this irresponsible journalism or unprofessional journalism to a lack of training on the job. What are you doing in this direction?
Indeed, lack of training at the core of most of the ethical misconduct and irresponsible use of the media. Because you know that the entry point of journalism is so loose to the extent that anybody at all, regardless of their background can practice journalism. And the laws of the land do not stand on that. So we have instances where people who know nothing will invade the media scene, people with all kinds of agendas, all kinds of interests will invade the media scene and bastardize and crucify the very principles which define the limits of journalism. We need to understand that even though we have all the latitude and space to practice, the laws, specifically Article 164 of the 1992 Constitution, set public morality, national security, and public order restrictions on the media, on the freedom we use.
That was the GGA President Roland Afolmoni.
11 people fleeing the Ebola virus in Sierra Leone have arrived in Ghana. They include 9 Ghanaians, 1 Zimbabwean, and a driver whose nationality is not yet known. They arrived at a border post in the Upper East region. The 11 were screened at the border and have been sent to the Kwalibu Teaching Hospital to be quarantined for further observation and examination. Our Upper East regional correspondent, Dangma Felix Lambert, has more.
11 people, comprising 9 Ghanaians, 1 Zimbabwean, and a driver of a bus arrived at the Pada border post last night from Sierra Leone. The people who are apparently fleeing from Sierra Leone because of the Ebola outbreak were both screened by health authorities and immigration officials. They have since been escorted by the police and health officials to the Kwalibu Teaching Hospital for further screening.
They arrived at the Ghana border from Guinea, Mali, Burkina Faso, Ghana, and they arrived around 6:35 p.m. When they came, immigration officers were alert before our regional team from Bolga. The DGP, the regional head director, was sent by Dr. Koku Awuno, regional director, to come in. We screened them by our questionnaire, the health declaration form they filled, and then we used our Ebola flash machine on them to read their temperature. And the temperatures we had was normal.
According to a report we gathered, these 11 people have been sent to the Kwalibu Teaching Hospital to be quarantined and then for further examination. Is that true?
Yes, it's true. When we finished and the regional team arrived, sent by the minister and the regional director of health services, we finished our part and they also cross-interviewed them where they are going, their hometown, their contact numbers. Where they decided that they should escort them to Accra for further screening, which they will meet Dr. Sako, the public health director in Accra for further screening at college. Because of the contact, they cannot leave them now. They will take their blood samples and then whether maybe 1 or 2 victims, if not, and maybe later they can leave them to meet their family or their relatives.
That was a Port Health official, Francis Namacha, ending that report by our Paris regional correspondent, Dangba Felix Lambert.
Now let's go beyond the shores of Ghana. Police in Uganda say they have seized large amounts of explosives during raids on suspected Al-Shabaab militants. Authorities said the terrorist group was planning to carry out imminent attacks in the capital, Kampala. 19 people have been arrested and are being interrogated. Uganda has been on high alert since Al-Shabaab's leader, Ahmed Abdi Godani, was killed in a U.S. airstrike in Somalia earlier this month. Last week, the U.S. Embassy in Kampala warned of possible revenge attacks against U.S. targets in response to the airstrike on September 2.
The leader of Sweden's Social Democrats says he will try to form a government after the party's victory, but will not work with the far right. Partial results show Stefan Löfven's party has set return to power, but did no clear majority. The results show the center-left bloc with 43.7% ahead of Prime Minister Fredrik Reinfeldt's moderate party, which has 39.3%. The far right Sweden Democrats have 13%. Mr. Reinfeldt has conceded defeat, saying he will step down as Prime Minister.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry will meet foreign ministers from around the world in Paris later today to discuss how to defeat Islamic State militants. About 40 countries, including 10 Arab states, have signed up to a coalition to help fight ISIS in Iraq and Syria. Several Arab countries have offered to take part in airstrikes on ISIS fighters in Iraq. Mr. Kerry says he's extremely encouraged by promises of military assistance to tackle the militant group. He stated this after a tour of the Middle East to try to solicit support for a plan of action unveiled by U.S. President Barack Obama last week. And now we end the news with a quick look at our major stories. Colleges of Education have called for increase in feeding grants. Traditional ruler has appealed to government to subsidize fertilizers for farmers to ensure increased cocoa production. The Mion District Assembly has completed street naming program ahead of deadline, and the police have seized large cache of explosives following raids on suspected Al-Shabaab militants. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Ibrahim Kwatsun in Accra.